Memberships. For the calendar, go to the Mahone Foundation Facebook page.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Hey everybody, welcome to Community Matters. I'm Ron Purty, your host this week, and we have a very amazing episode today. I'm going to be speaking with Reverend Holly Anderley of the First Baptist Church. She's not just a pastor of the First Baptist Church, though. She's a retired U.S. Army officer, a former board president for the Racine Host Shelter, former board president, former executive director of HALO, and the current director of the Monday Hot Meal Program. Holly, how are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Ron?
I'm a box of fluffy ducks, and you can take that however you want. it's one of those situations. But first off, before we get going, I want to apologize to everyone for being gone for so long and having to listen to reruns of things that might not matter, just because of time, I guess, because of time. But I'm here now, and I'm here with Holly, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We talked about this before, I think, but when you joined the military, it wasn't because you wanted to fight for God and country. You just wanted to get in to get money for seminary school?
No. I joined to fight for God and country, particularly to become a chaplain in the U.S.
Okay,
Army.
Yeah.
My friends are always like, oh, you want to go be Father Mulcahy? And I'm like, well, yeah. You know,
I was just
but
watching
anyway,
MASH.
Yeah. So the issue that I was telling you about was that when we were in the process of graduating and I indicated that, you know, I wanted to go to seminary and go into the chaplaincy. So a couple of my other friends were being sent to law school, being sent to medical school, being sent to nursing school on the government's dime. However, they could not send me to seminary because of the rules about separation of church and state.
Okay.
So I had to go to seminary on my own, which meant I didn't have the money. So I went active duty for 9 years. And so I was commissioned as a personnel service officer. And initially I was kind of an adjutant general corps officer in military speak. But basically we ran personnel and everything.
So you decided where people went.
Yeah. So, kind of. So anyway, I think the thing is that God, I've always said, draws straight with crooked lines. And I think that the experiences that I got in the military working with people, we were ones responsible for sending people on emergency leave, processing traumatic separations, dealing with casualty assistance and things of that nature. So I think the training that I got with people actually stood me in fantastic place so that when I did go to seminary, I had a wealth of life experience behind me, and I didn't come in just as nothing more than being in school for X number of years.
Right.
If that makes any sense. So yeah, I think it was a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. And sometimes it pays to join the military. Sometimes, I'm not going to talk about that though. Anywho, when you got out of the military, what was the process of becoming the pastor of the First Baptist Church?
Well, when I separated off of active duty and went into the reserves after that 9 years, I had every intention of going to seminary. So I joined. When we moved to Wisconsin, I joined our local American Baptist Church. And it's important that I note that I am a member of the American Baptist Churches of the U.S. Fantastic denomination. It's a little bit different than what most stereotypes of Baptists are. So I immediately joined our local congregation and made a home there. So when I was done with seminary, as it turns out, we were between pastors. The guy that was the interim, I signed on to be his associate pastor. And then when he was retiring, the congregation asked me if I would be willing to be their pastor, which was interesting because I had never had any intention of being a pulpit minister. I was always going to be a chaplain. I, you know, started out in ministry at Ascension All Saints, which at the time was Wheaton Franciscan. And so I was a chaplain.
Called next week.
Exactly. I was a chaplain there for 5 years, did my internship there, my part-time casual, if you want to say. And the only reason I did finally leave was because it was impossible to do both the hospital and pastor the church at the same time. So again, I think, you know, you end up where you're supposed to be.
Right, right.
And so it was actually through First Baptist Church that I became active with the Monday Night Hot Meal Program. The Monday Night Hot Meal Program has been a ministry of First Baptist Church since we took it over sometime around 1988 or 89.
Okay.
And so I got involved with it in 1994 when we joined the congregation, and, you know, I was an underling. I was taught everything, but it was meaningful. So I started to be there every Monday night, and at that time it was held at our church, which was at that time at the corner of 8th and Wisconsin in Racine.
Okay.
My kids were raised with the Monday Night Hot Meal. I can remember my son, when he was 2 years old, taking a nap on one of the areas of the church fellowship hall while we served the meals. And so it's been kind of something that's been a part of my life since 1994. eventually, people changed, moved, passed away, and so I ended up as the director of it. And continued to do that even after I became the pastor in 2004.
Now, let's go back a little bit. We'll talk about the hot meal program, the Monday Night Hot Meal program in just a second here, but I just want to bring up the Racine Host Shelter. I'm not exactly that familiar with it. Could you explain what that is? Like, I know Hospitality Center and all that kind of stuff through Blankfest, but I'm not familiar with the Host Shelter.
Well, the Host Shelter does not exist anymore. The host shelter was a temporary measure. So through my work with the Monday Night Hot Meal, I got in with the Hospitality Center because, you know, we shared a lot of common guests, clients, whatever you wanted to call them. We refer to them as guests. And so I used to go down and volunteer at the Hospitality Center, talk to the folks. And what happened was at some point, Kevin Stewart, who was the director at the time, decided to make the Hospitality Center a place where people could stay overnight. At that time, Halo's policies were such that many people could not qualify for overnight shelter. So the Hospitality Center was doing it. It came a time when they were no longer allowed to do that, and so there was no place other than Halo for people to stay. So we formed, a group of us that were concerned formed a organization called Segway, meaning to be able to transition from one thing to another.
Right.
And the first year we ran a warming center, an overnight warming center out of my church when the temperature dropped below a certain temperature, then people could have a place that they could come in and stay. And we would have about, I don't know, 6 or 7 people that took advantage of that. But again, we were not central to downtown. So we began working and talking, and after a long, drawn-out process with which we got a great deal of help from then County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, and at that time the mayor of Racine, John Dickert. They worked with us to find a great place to set up, and people, the powers that be in Racine were honestly expecting we'd have maybe 10 or 11 people a night at the at the host shelter, and that stood for the Homeless Overnight Shelter Task Force, H-O-S-T, host. Ultimately, we had upwards of 60 people staying there at any given point in time over that winter. And that was in 2015, 2016. I'm sorry, I didn't write my dates down before we started.
You're fine.
So we were active and provided shelter from November of, I think, 2016 to November of 2017. And at that time, suddenly everybody became aware of how many people were really on the street, which resulted in HALO's policies changing to open up, become a low barrier shelter to allow more people to enter into that shelter. And we worked very closely with HALO to transition everybody to HALO, and then we were able to close down the host shelter, which was bittersweet, but honestly, we weren't really equipped or trained to run a shelter full-time. But it served the purpose that it needed to service, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Warren Williams, and who was the pastor of Atonement Lutheran at the time, and his wife Joni, Teresa Reinders, Gay Lorenzen, pulling a brain cramp. I can see several other people. I apologize to anybody whose names I'm missing, but blame it on radiation brain. But we had a great group of people, and I was the vice president at that point in time. And Warren was the president. We worked very closely together setting that all up. And it was quite an experience. It was very eye-opening. And all the while that was going on, we were still continuing to obviously run the Monday night hot meal. So, and we were shuttling people to and from. So I learned a great deal about people experiencing homelessness and poverty and hunger. And you know, just my ministry went in a direction that I honestly never anticipated that it would go, but I went with that willingly, and I'm very, very humbled and honored to have been able to have been a part of that.
Now, I'm only bringing this next part up because I want to establish all your work with the homeless and the downtrodden, if I can use that term, before we get into the Monday hot meal.
Generally, we prefer to refer to them as those experiencing homelessness. And the reason we don't like to call people the homeless is because we are so much more than labels.
Right.
You know, you don't want to ever be labeled as something. You don't want to be labeled homeless, because then you wear that, and then people begin to think, well, that's all I'll ever be. Here's my label. I'm homeless. So we try to say people who are currently experiencing homelessness, so that folks that are will get the idea, this is just temporary. I am not homeless. I am experiencing an issue right now. And so that's why, if you don't mind me interrupting, to just point that out.
That's fine.
Yeah.
People need to hear that kind of stuff. But I want to get into real quick, how did you went from the host shelter, and you had your own ministry, and then you became a board president and the former executive director of HALO. How'd that come about?
Because when we transitioned host shelter to become a part of HALO, and it absorbed it completely, so host did not exist anymore. The new executive director for HALO was Gay Lorenzen, who, in addition to being a very respected colleague who used to be the executive director of Legal Action Wisconsin here in Racine, and also has been quite involved in what used to be the continuum of care for Racine. We call it the Alliance now, that deals with all folks that are experiencing homelessness, and all of the resources and all of the organizations that support those experiencing homelessness. They asked Warren and I if we would join the board of directors for HALO. And so we applied and we were accepted. And so both Warren and I came on the board. And we served in different capacities on the board. And as time came to pass, that the president said, listen, we need to start a path so that when I eventually step down, there will be people that will be in line to take over as board president that will be trained, so you're not getting that on-the-job training, so to speak. So
right.
I was invited to join the executive committee for the board and got my feet wet, and then became the vice president. And then when Jim Henderson at the time stepped down, I was elected the president of the board of HALO and served on the as the board president, I think, for, it was about a year and a half. And that was during COVID, during the startup of COVID. So
that changed a lot of stuff.
Yeah. During that time, Gay retired again, which is a big joke with us. She keeps trying to retire and keeps coming back, which is wonderful because this community has no idea what a debt of gratitude they owe to Gay Lorenzen. But anyway, Gay said, you know, it's that time. I really want to retire. And we conducted a search, and we hired someone who took the job, but unfortunately she became ill and was no longer able to keep the job. And so we had job searches going, and finally came to pass where we just weren't getting a whole lot of response.
Right.
Where it was a relatively... The idea of it being low barrier was relatively new. It was COVID. There were still some things going on. And, you know, I think it just wasn't a time that many people wanted to jump. So I said, well, maybe I'll throw my hat in the ring. And the board was amenable to me doing that. And so they ended up hiring me. And at the time I said, you know, I will promise to give you 3 years. And I ultimately came up a month short. Thank you, cancer.
You still owe HALO a month.
I still owe HALO a month.
They're going to come get it.
They may come get it. They're welcome to do that. You know, my heart and support will always be with HALO. It's a fantastic organization with a great board. And I have not yet personally met the new director, Yvonne Hames, but I understand she's pretty kick-ass good, so I'm looking forward to meeting her at some point in time.
We need to get her to Blankfest at some point.
You definitely do.
So that would be, yeah. And then you mentioned COVID and everything. Now, remind me, because I remember I was running the Blankfest virtually at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Which was...
Wasn't that incredible? That was, what a year that was.
Yeah, that was, I think it was like $3,500 we raised, I think.
Yeah, and we did it 2 years in a row that way, I think, and
oh no, we did that year, and then we did a summer one.
And then the
Blankfest we did right after things started opening up, it was kind of poorly attended because we required vaccination cards and people that weren't cool with that. It's like, well, this is a benefit, and if there's going to be a lot of people, we don't want. People to get sick. And lo and behold, after this last year's Blankfest, what do you think I got?
COVID!
Yep.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. I was without a voice for, that's why I was gone from Community Matters for a little bit. I was without a voice for a good month and a half. And for someone like me, and Holly will attest to this, I need to talk.
Oh yeah, Ron needs to talk.
I do. So I...
Almost as much as I do.
I think you're still the champ. It was something else. You guys had to take funds out of HALO to put people up in hotels. Am I correct?
We did. We were very lucky that we had some good COVID funding from the county and from the federal government. So we were able to use a little bit of that for many things, but it did not stretch far enough. So we did, in fact, have to take HALO funds to put people up in hotels initially to start with until the government got everything rolling. And that was not really quite expensive in terms of paying for the hotels, but we had to have our case managers, our workers, had to go out to the hotels. We had to figure out a way to provide meals to all of those people. We had to figure out a way to provide enough security for the hotels because, you know, unfortunately, some of our folks at HALO struggle with some addiction issues, with some severe mental health issues, not all of them. But some of them do struggle, and they need a little extra support, and so we had to figure that out. So it was a very, very challenging time as a board board vice president as a board president, and then I came in as executive director right at the tail end, and was responsible for moving the people from the hotels back into the shelter gradually, a little bit at a time. So it was.
Yeah, that's. I really do think that the world has changed, and it won't be going back to the way it was.
It has, and it won't.
Yeah, and it's a little weird sometimes, but
well, and funding has become very, very difficult, indeed. It's when I left, we were really struggling. Donations are way down across the board. People want to work and to give, but they want to give in kind. They want to give from their heart. When some tax things got restructured, so you could only take a certain amount of credit for taxes. So people that would give a whole lot, in many cases, weren't giving as much in 1 year. They would give a lump sum every 2 years to meet the tax brackets. Companies have cut down. Corporate giving has gone down. I do want to throw a shout out to SC Johnson, who has been stalwart supporters of Host and Halo and the Monday Night Hot Meal for a long time. Pretty much anything that we've needed, they've done their best to make sure that we got. So in kind as well as workers. So I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize that.
I really think if Johnson left Racine, this town would die.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of property by my house too. It's just down the road.
There are other corporations too, but the JWACS folks, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to say SC Johnson folks now, really have put their heart and soul into it, starting from Fisk and going all down.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Now, when it comes to the Monday Night Hot Meal program.
My heart. That's
yes.
My heart.
Where, and now, mind you, folks, she's doing this while she's sick. So before we get into it more, you'll accept people coming down and helping out.
Oh, absolutely. But it's helpful if we know ahead of time, because every now and again we'll have a night when we'll get something like 15 volunteers down there, and we just won't have the work for everybody to do, and then people get frustrated. They're like, well, they don't need help. Why are we coming down here?
Right.
So it's usually helpful if I know ahead of time that you'd like to volunteer, and then I can say, hey, you know what? On, say, you know, September 23rd or what have you, we're going to be super shorthanded. We really need X number of people to come down. Or, you know, on this night, we don't have anybody to make the meal. Who would be willing to make a casserole?
Right.
And I got to tell you, Ron, every time I put a call out for casseroles, usually we go through, you know, 10, 12 casseroles in a night if it's a casserole meal. Last time I had to put that call out, I had 20 casseroles. Ended up donating the other 5 casseroles to Halo. Because
well,
we just had such, and this is a great thing about the Racine community, is this is such a giving and caring community that all you have to do is say, hey, we need help, and people are lining up to help. And
yeah, that's why I'm constantly watching like the Wisconsin Town Hall thing on Facebook, because they'll be saying, hey, XYZ needs this, and if me and JJ have money left over from Blankfest, we're right there. I'll tell him or he'll tell me just so we can get each other's okay. And then, but 99.9% of the time we're like, okay, go right ahead and do it, you know? And he's way more ambulatory than I am.
So I'd like to say a little bit about Monday Night Hot Meal. So back, we moved our church from 801 Wisconsin Avenue to 3117 Lathrop Avenue. Back in 2004, which took us out of the downtown area. And we needed a place to be, so we place hopped for a while. We were at the Salvation Army, then we were at Our Savior's Lutheran, and then we found our home at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in the same location as the Hospitality Center.
Okay.
It's important that I recognize that we are not a part of the Hospitality Center. Why is that important? Well, we love each other dearly and work together and cooperate, but the Hospitality Center's conditional use permit only allows them to serve breakfast and lunch 5 days a week. We serve on Monday night, and we don't fall under their conditional use permit. And it's important that people understand that so that they don't get accused of violating their city conditional use permit. Plus, we are a mission, an outreach mission of the First Baptist Church, but also we have partners from Journey in Faith, Evangelical Lutheran Church, and St. Mesrob Armenian Orthodox Church. And all of us together, and including our buddy JJ, forms what we would consider our oversight committee. Mm-hmm. And we make the decisions and how we're going to operate, if we're going to change things. Recently, we had a big decision to make about, we had become a takeout-only meal during COVID. Right. We had to decide whether we wanted to open back up for people to be seated. And we realized it was still a real requirement for takeout meals. So we've gone to what we call the hybrid meal. We all work together, but ultimately I'm the one that heavy hangs the head that wears the crown. Well, that would be me. I tend to be the bad guy on Monday nights that has to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't let you do that, or no, I'm sorry, you can't have seven meals because we've only got enough to give out one meal per person. So.
See, that's what I was going to ask you. Is like, do you have people who come in and are in need? Now, I know this is, but this has been kind of, you know, bugging me. Do you ever have people come in and say, well, I don't like this, there's got to be something else? Like, get picky for a free meal?
We do. And I would invite you to have discussions with JJ about that sometime, preferably not on camera and not on microphone.
Fair enough.
But yes, we do. And we have occasionally, and this has upset both of us. There was one time that somebody, they wanted two meals. We could not give them two meals because we only had three meals left and 20 minutes to go. They took the meal that they had, walked out the door, and deliberately just dived it, just threw it right into the trash right in front of the two of us. And it was very, very hard to maintain our composure. But I do want to say that that's the 0.1% of people.
Right.
99.9% of our folks are so grateful and thankful and humble. And it's, I mean, sometimes you have people that are crabby or crotchety for whatever reason. But in all the time I've been doing this, I've only ever had to ban one person.
Well, hey, that's great.
And that's a lot. I mean, yeah, it really does. There is no requirement for the Monday night hot meal. You do not have to come in and show me that you're eligible for anything. You don't have to sign up for anything, because the idea that we have is that sometimes everybody needs a hot meal. For example, Ron, you may not financially need it, but if there would be a time that, for example, you just didn't have the wherewithal to get yourself a meal, you'd be welcome to just come in and sit down. For a long time, we had an elderly Air Force veteran who never learned how to cook. And then his wife developed Alzheimer's disease, and she couldn't cook anymore. And he was down by us every single Monday night. And that's where they got some of their socialization. They sat with friends, and at least one night a week, they had a good, healthy, home-cooked meal.
And what is it about Monday? Why is it? Is it just because it sounds good, or?
Well, that was our night.
Okay.
So, to go back a little bit, there was, back before HALO and all that ever existed, was something called the Racine Emergency Shelter Task Force. And people would spend the night at different churches and organizations around the town. Around that same time, various hot meal programs sprang up. And so there was a little bit of unofficial coordination made. Monday night was... Well, First Baptist ended up taking it over. Tuesday was the old St. Rose. Wednesday is Zoe Outreach Ministries now, and so on and so on and so on. And so Monday night just happens to be our night. But what we do have, and this is important to know, we have a hot meal in Racine 6 nights out of the week at different locations, most of them churches. And they're in various locations around the city. And on Saturday, two Saturdays a month, the First United Methodist Church, in cooperation with St. Luke's Episcopal Church, does a brown bag meal at noon out of the United Methodist Church. So there's really, truly never any excuse other than transportation to not have a good meal any night of the week in Racine.
There you go. That sounds amazing. See, Racine gives back because Racine's amazing. You know, I always have people say, well, if you ever make it big, you're moving out of Racine, right? I'm like, no, if I make it big, I'm not even moving out of where I live.
Exactly. But it would make life a lot easier.
I'm going to buy my neighbor's properties. I'm going to buy my neighbor's properties for exorbitant amounts. I'm just going to add on to my house.
There you go.
To the point where they don't, to the point where it's like, you know, I would be buying their properties over way over how much they're worth. So they have money to move and buy a new place and all that kind of stuff. And then I would just make my place bigger. That's all. So on average, how many people do you think come in for the Monday night meal?
You know, that is always a very problematic thing to figure out. I would say if we averaged it up over a year, we serve an average of 100 meals a night every Monday night, an average. But sometimes I will say that the number of meals that goes out the door is as low as 60, you know, on certain days. We find that the first of the month, when the checks have come in, tends to be a lower month.
Right.
We find that on nights that things are very, very, very cold, it's too bitter outside to maybe leave the house, people probably have the ability to make a sandwich, and it just isn't worthwhile to go through the snow and the ice to get to the hot meal. On the other hand, some nights we have it so that we've actually had times when we have had 125 actual people, not meals, actual bodies. And on nights like that, we've been known to be scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to get enough food to feed everybody. Our hope and our plan is to never send anybody away hungry. It does happen sometimes. But we do the best that we can. And the hospitality center is great about if we run out of food, us being able to run down to their pantry and grab, a couple of cans of baked beans. And we try to keep some food in reserves ourselves so that if we have to grab some things and make something on the fly. I remember one night we ran out of food and somebody ran out and got a few dozen eggs and we had tortillas and we made Friday scrambled eggs and tortillas and cheese. But
hey, breakfast tacos are always good.
Hey, you know, you do what you have to do because there really are people in this city that are hungry.
Yeah.
And, if we could solve one thing, it would be the transportation issue, to be able to get people where they need to go to get the food they need to get.
Yeah. Now, can people donate things to the Monday Night Hot Meal, even if it's not themselves? Like, can they donate canned goods and things like that?
You can always – we will always accept donations of money, gratefully. We have a 501c3 that we operate on through the church. So we are, we are tax deductible. If somebody wanted to donate canned goods or specific things for a meal, that would be very helpful. If someone wanted to do that, it would be more helpful if they could coordinate with me, and then I could tell them what meals are coming up and what kinds of things we need. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
So, and we do have a Facebook page. We are on Facebook as Monday Night Hot Meal. It might be Monday Night Hot Meal Program. So oftentimes we'll go on there and we'll post when there's a need, but I can be reached through that messaging. So if you message me through the Monday Night Hot Meal Facebook page, I can get messages that way.
Okay, perfect. Now, what are some of the volunteer positions that you guys have there on any given Monday that people could come in and after they've gotten a hold of you, obviously, but they can come in and help out with?
Well,
kind of let people know what they're in for.
Yeah. Well, it can be chaotic. If you want to come down and help out, you got to be able to deal with chaos because it's a fast-moving machine. We have basically from 3:30 until 5:30 to get everything set up, prepped, warmed up, served up, packaged up, and given out, and then clean up. So it, as you can imagine, to do all that in 2 hours, we're moving fast. We're a fast-moving train. People can help with setting up brown bags and putting in things. We call those our cold packs. Things that would go in there would be things like a bottle of water or a box of milk, juice, fruit cups, fruit cookies, utensils, different things like that. Granola bars. Some people bring granola bars. I should probably explain the way that this runs is that every Monday night there is a different serving group that cooks and prepares a meal and brings it to the brings it to St. Luke's Episcopal Church, and then they serve it up into styrofoam clamshells. Yes, I know. I hate styrofoam too, but right now it's the only economically feasible thing we can do. And we all those meals will consist of some kind of a protein, some kind of a meat or beans, vegetables, some kind of a starch, carbohydrates, for example, some kind of a vegetable, a fruit, a dessert, and some kind of a beverage. Some places do water, some do milk, some do juice. And so the cold packs have your milk or juice, your water, your things that you wouldn't necessarily want to have cold. In the styrofoam container would be your hot meal, your casserole, or I've got a group that's getting ready to do turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and corn. Some groups have done baked potatoes with all the fixings and vegetables on the side. Some groups have done brats and beans. You know, there's the old standby tater tot casserole, which I happen to love. That's my favorite. Noodle casserole. So they bring these things in, and that group is responsible that night for the most part for actually serving up. Then the other volunteer positions would be helping to package up the food and to put in the bags, put the clamshells with the cold pack in a white bag to prepare it to be taken out, to be giving out food to people that are actually going to stay in and eat. They just get the clamshell in the brown paper bag. People willing to give out coffee and milk going around to the table. People that will be doing the packaging, running the food back and forth from the kitchen, doing the dishes because you have to heat the stuff there. Wiping down tables afterwards, sweeping the floor, taking out the trash. You know, all of these really glamorous positions.
Oh, yeah, know? Definitely.
Yeah.
That's why you guys are on the Forbes 500.
Sure. And we also highly, highly encourage people to just mingle with our guests. Sometimes people are not just hungry to fill their stomachs. Sometimes they're hungry to fill their lives, to feel that they're connected somehow with other human beings. They need to talk to people. They need to have somebody care about them. There have been times that we've given counseling to people, not professional counseling, but just, you know, we've prayed with people. We've encouraged people. We've said, my gosh, that looks terrible. You should go see a doctor.
Yeah.
We've called the ambulance for people right from there at the Monday Night Hot Meal. We've had people that were diabetic or people that had other issues, and they, you know, we try to do the best that we can to connect with people on a human basis.
Well, that's
and
good
that's
too.
Really what it takes to feed people.
Oh, yeah. It's not just the mind and the soul, but the stomach as well.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to ask a weird question, but when don't I ever do that? So just for people who aren't religious folk and who are looking for a hot meal, they're not.
Yep.
This isn't something where if they go in there, they're going to get
absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do not wear clericals. And you would never know, for the most part, that this was a meal that was put together and served by churches. Everybody is welcome. All people are welcome. They don't get preached to. They don't have to listen to a sermon. They don't have to pray. There's no obligation involved. We give freely and without expectation, just the way that Christ gave freely and expectation to without expectation to everybody.
There you go. See? So if you're hungry and you want to be around some people Monday night, what is the address again? I know it's on Main?
On 614 Main Street is the entrance to the church. It's the entrance off Main that goes through the porch entrance. And the meal, we start serving at 4:30. I always advocate getting there early, because if it's a night that one of our groups that comes doesn't always bring as much food as, say, another night, you want to get there early to make sure that you're able to get a meal. By about 5 o'clock or 5:10, if there's leftover food, we're starting to give out seconds. So if you wait until 5:30, all the food may well be gone.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I do know I eat pretty early. I've become an old man, and I eat about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Oh, my.
I'm pretty soon it's time for that AARP card. I mean, I can tell I'm getting older because I'm watching the History Channel, and I'm enjoying it.
Dude, just for the record, this guy is almost 20 years younger than I am, okay?
Hey, I'm old. I'm 46 now.
Age is in the mind of the beholder. Age is all in your mind.
If age is, I always heard age is how you feel. You're only as old as you feel. And if that's the case, I'm a corpse. So, I mean, it's one of those situations. You can also find it, the Monday Night Hot Meal Program, over on Facebook. Check them out. If you're interested in donating, or your time, or materials, or money, just hit up Holly over there at the Facebook page. It's amazing when you really start to look for the help, that it's there, that you can find it. And I can't thank you and everybody else that's involved. The large guy in Scotland right now as well.
Yeah, who better get his American behind. Butt back over here, because I'm kind of jealous right now.
I'm very jealous. Yeah. I'm. Here's the thing about me is I'm part Irish, but I want to go to Scotland. I don't want to go to Ireland. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm crazy. And I would be like, I don't know if you ever watched Blackadder, but I would be like his weird Scottish cousin.
I'm a very big Blackadder fan.
Yes, I don't like the first series too much. It's the second through, 2 through 4 is good.
Ooh.
You know, especially the end of 4. That is just heartbreaking.
It is heart-wrenching.
For a comedy. Yeah, and to think that, and that's what kind of got me into World War I stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's everything's out there about World War II. It's hard-pressed to find things about World War I, weird because that was a way more brutal war.
But they had a cunning plan.
They did. Is it the a fox that goes to, we're not going to get into all that stuff. But and is there a social media people can find you at?
Right now, Monday Night Hot Meal on Facebook, and we may be on Instagram as well. If we're not, we've been working on trying to set that up. It seems to work occasionally, but not always. I have not set up a X account yet or a Threads account yet.
Yeah, a lot of them are just combined now, Threads and Instagram and Facebook, and it's all, because I'll post something on Instagram. It's like, it was shared to your Threads account. I'm like, it was? Okay, whatever. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Holly for being here. You can follow me on all social medias at I'm Uncle Ron, and we will see you here on Community Matters next time.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine.